for joining us.
And thank you, Amy Goodman, for another great show on Democracy Now! And it is 12 o'clock on the 1st of December, and I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving week. KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Moloa, and K284AL Haleiwa Health Talk.
When morning comes to Morgantown, the merchants roll their awnings down, the milk trucks make their morning round.
And Health Talk, the first and third Mondays of the month, brought to you here at KKCR and our underwriters. Mahalo to our underwriters and to you for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com. That's 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all-natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, systems, and setups. In the Puhi Industrial Park, Lihue. Family-owned and operated, open Monday through Saturday. More information at 246-4769. That's 246-GROW and online at gardenislandhydro.com.
La Cervera Productions presents An Evening with Judy Collins, Thursday, January 22nd, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Singer-songwriter and folk music icon Judy Collins performing on Kauai for one night only, January 22nd, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Information, tickets, and Golden Circle at 808-896-4845 or at lazarbear.com, lazarbear.com.
Okay, and mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And the views and opinions are those of the speaker, Dr. Donna Kaplan, and do not represent those of KKCR, its board, its members, or its underwriters. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Cousin Rich.
Did you have a wonderful Thanksgiving?
I did. How about you?
I did. We had a big family day up in Kapahi, and it was just a lot of fun.
I'm just feeling so much gratitude.
Yeah.
During this time. So much gratitude and gratitude for the love and the abundance and
that's right.
So much.
And the 1st of December, huh? Isn't that something?
The 1st of December.
No, I can't believe it. And I came into the station and set up the board and the underwriters, and I saw Judy Collins and heard the underwriter, and I thought, one of my Christmas presents. She's always been one of my favorites, and
that's
something
wonderful.
Special.
She's
yeah.
coming to Kauai
in January.
I didn't hear the date. When sometime in January.
Yeah, the 20-something. So
wonderful.
Wow. So.
So we are talking today about keeping the immune system and the body strong in the winter months, and during the holidays. So in the winter, we have less light. Right? We have more wind here on Kauai, more cold, definitely less sunshine, as I said, less light. Not just having less sunshine, but we're indoors more, right? And then during the holidays, we are maybe indulging more in sweets and lots of things that we normally wouldn't eat, and alcohol. So we have to counterbalance this and keep our immune system healthy. And you know, one of the big issues is very, very simple, and our grandmothers and great grandmothers knew all about it. It really is common sense about keeping warm and eating warm foods and drinking hot teas and bundling up, you know, in the wind. So those things are actually very, very important in terms of staying healthy. We're going to talk about We're going to talk about the protective layer of the body in Chinese medicine. That's called the Wei Qi. That's the outer layer of the body. And the Wei Qi is the Qi. So we want that to be, the Qi is energy. So this is the energy on the outer surface, which is the protective layer. And we want that protective layer to be as strong as possible, because we don't want outside negative influences to penetrate. So that's in Chinese medicine. We need to keep the Wei Qi strong. So in Chinese medicine, we have, they're called outer external influences. So that could be a combination of wind and cold, or wind and heat. So wind really does have an effect to, you know, if our Wei Qi isn't strong enough, or we're exposed in the wind for many hours, then that's going to have an effect to penetrate the Wei Qi. And so it could be that there is a virus or that there's a bacteria, but usually it's the body's resistance and this external wind getting into through that first layer. And so we're going to talk about more on how to release the Wei Qi. But I want to first talk about what I said is really common sense, but so important, that we need to eat warm foods and drink hot teas, especially, you know, a lot of people here on Kauai have raw food diet, and so are eating predominantly raw. So this can be very, very beneficial to the health, to have raw, alive foods, sprouted foods. Definitely in the winter time, we want to have, in my opinion, less of a percentage of raw foods, because we need to have some warmth. The body, the digestive system, actually has to cook the food. So if the food isn't cooked, the digestive system has to be really strong. So that takes energy. So some people have, especially if they're young, they have the vital energy, they have the vital digestive fire enough to tolerate a raw foods diet, or a predominantly raw foods diet. And then for those who are maybe more depleted over the years, then their body's going to be less able to tolerate it, and it can actually end up, if we're not careful, having effect to lessen the ability of the digestive system to do its job well. So we really want to, even if let's say we are having a predominantly raw food diet, we definitely want to have to drink hot teas, hot water, hot drinks. Even warm soups are very important. But adding warm food, you know, really just thinking about, you know, staying warm. And I think, you know, I don't know about you, Cousin Rich, but I love to drink a lot of smoothies and make them nice and protein and beneficial fat rich smoothies and lots of greens. And so this time of year, when it's getting colder, I just don't feel like having them as much. I like to have more
a little
warm
more
food.
Heartier warm yeah. foods like hot cereals and
yep, and warm soups. And so this is just a really important principle. Also, hot baths can really help us, especially if we need to detoxify the body, or, you know, if we do get exposed to cold wind, or maybe we're in the cold ocean too long. So a hot bath, and I think using Epsom salts is really wise, because the Epsom salts help to detoxify the body, and they also are a really important addition of its magnesium sulfate. So you get sulfate, a good way to get sulfate and sulfur into the body, which is important in detoxification. It's also very helpful for warming, and as I said, will definitely help with detoxification. And why are we talking about detoxification? Because, you know, during the holiday season, especially, people are eating more foods that they shouldn't be, like I said, drinking alcohol, and also in terms of foods, if they're not, you know, if they're going out a little more, or if they're going to a restaurant or a party, they may be exposed to eating more commercial foods. And so these commercial foods are laden with herbicides and also GMO. And so those are very toxic to the body. So we want to, what in terms of detoxification, detoxification is also going to support an anti-inflammatory, healthy benefit in the body. So inflammation is going to be caused by toxins. So all kinds of toxins. But particularly, I know on this show we talk a lot about diet. So the anti-inflammatory diet means we're not going to have junk food. We're not going to have commercial food that has genetically modified organisms and pesticides in the food and herbicides. So organic food is very, very important. We're going to stay away from fructose and sugar as much as possible and sodas. So especially high fructose corn syrup, which is added to many, many foods.
We were having this discussion the other night about high fructose corn syrup.
Uh-huh.
And is it true that the liver has trouble breaking it down?
Yes.
Or does it pass beyond the liver? Or what actually happens when we eat high fructose corn syrup?
When we're having high fructose corn syrup or fructose, the liver has to work harder in breaking down the fructose, and it has to convert it. And if the liver's been over-demanded by, you know, the liver has many, many detoxification metabolic processes. It has many metabolic processes. And so if it's not able to do its job correctly, or if there's just too much fructose and high fructose corn syrup, like if we drink one or two cans of soda or something like that, yes, it ends up getting shunted and affects the muscles. And I know we've talked when Dr. Stephanie Senna from MIT has been on the show, and we hope she's going to join us in some upcoming shows when she gets back to the island.
Wow.
But she talks about the combination of having fructose and having the drug Lipitor or any of those cholesterol-lowering drugs is actually very, very detrimental, because the fructose actually ends up damaging the muscles and damaging the liver with that combination. A lot of people are on cholesterol-lowering drugs, so have to be very careful, because they do cause early aging of the body and many side effects. So so back to the diet. So fructose and simple carbohydrates are going to be very much going to affect the immune system, going to lower the immune system, and have a much higher toxic load on the liver. And so really, you know, the best diet is going to, especially in the winter, we're going to have low on carbohydrates, especially simple carbohydrates, and we want to increase healthy fats and increase proteins and lots of vegetables. So if we increase healthy fats, like these are very important for the body, especially if they're rich in omega-3s and gamma-linolenic acid especially, we're going to have calorie-rich fats, without having the carbohydrates. So when we have carbohydrate or we have sugar or we have fructose, it's going to get into the bloodstream very quickly. So often people who are protein deficient and fat deficient, they're going to be craving carbohydrates. But it gets into the bloodstream very quickly, and the response is a large, quick release of insulin. So with insulin being released, we have all mechanisms that go into storing glucose into fat and into glycogen and into cholesterol making. And once it's stored all the glucose, then we have a low glucose in the blood, and then cortisol from the adrenal glands needs to kick in. And what cortisol does is it causes a breakdown so that there's some glucose always in the blood, because we need that in order to maintain the brain cells in order to survive. And so when we're having sugar, especially on an empty stomach or high fructose corn syrup, which is very super high sweet, much higher amount than sugar, then we're going to have these highs, high glucose, and then correspondingly low, and then this will trigger the adrenal glands, and it's a cycle of up and down and up and down. And you know, we've had other shows where we've talked about adrenal burnout and how the adrenal glands affect the body and affect sleep in a negative way, and this can be quite a cycle. So what we really want to do is to stabilize the blood sugar. So how we do that is by if we decrease the carbohydrates and the sugars, and we add the beneficial fats and protein regularly, then this is going to be a sustained digestion, okay, and slower digestion over a sustained period of time. So we're not going to have these highs and lows. So this is very, very important to stabilize the blood sugar. So very important. So in terms of the immune system, sugar and high fructose corn syrup are going to depress the immune system. So we're talking about how inflammation is a process in the body. It's a response to having sugar, high fructose corn syrup, having junk food in the diet, having leaky gut syndrome.
Another
We're
one.
We're going to talk more about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Is hydrogenated oils.
Hydrogenated oils.
Which is
right.
When you
hydrogenated
buy,
oils.
I'm sorry,
hydrogenated
yes. Hydrogenated oils.
Mm-hmm.
Is they heat oils up very high temperatures, so when they put it back in a product like peanut butter, it doesn't separate.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That stuff is really bad.
Right. And any commercial oil, they're going to be using high temperatures and solvents, chemical solvents, in order to process and extract the oil. So those are actually have toxic byproducts to the body and do cause the inflammatory response in the body as well. And margarine also has the hydrogenated oils, and it's been heated very high. So some of the, I was going to talk about this later on, but since we're on the topic, what are healthy beneficial fats, and where do we find them? So we're going to find them from fresh nuts and seeds. We're going to find them from coconut meat and coconut oil. We're going to find them from avocados.
Wow.
From
and we got good ones here, don't we?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and this season, interesting Ooh. Enough, huh? And extra virgin olive oil. So when we talk about extra virgin, we also want to make sure that it's organic, because we don't want to be ingesting solvents, and we don't want to be ingesting this, you know, when it's extra virgin, expeller pressed, they're not heating the oil high, so that causes the toxicities in the oil, to heat the oil. So those are some very, very good ways of getting beneficial fats. We also have fish and salmon that has the healthy omega-3s. And then there's gamma-linolenic acid, which you can find high in borage oil, in black currant seed oil, in evening primrose oil. So one can take those oils as supplements, which are very, very beneficial. So back to detoxification. So like I said, we want to stabilize the blood sugar levels. We want to decrease inflammation. So we're going to do that by staying away from foods that are toxic, foods that are commercial and have been used with very toxic chemicals like pesticides and herbicides and GMOs. We want to we also want to increase lots of vegetables and lots of fiber in the diet. And coffee is, you know, if you've tuned into this program with me, then you've heard me talk about coffee as really causing a lot of inflammation in the body, can lead to and exacerbate chronic illness and pain. So coffee actually is acidic in the blood, and so that's going to cause an inflammatory response. It also causes a decrease of calcium from the bones and from the muscles to go into the bloodstream to neutralize the acid. So it can lead to osteoporosis. So we want to...
And doesn't it, when you drink coffee, doesn't it affect the adrenals right away?
Yes. So there's the... Thank you. There's the adrenal effect. It's a stimulant. You know, there's also caffeine in decaffeinated coffee, too. But the caffeine is a stimulant, so that's going to stimulate the adrenal glands.
And I heard that if you indeed are, you indeed are needing coffee to have high protein with the coffee. Is that correct?
That's going to help.
It'll help,
for sure.
Yeah.
That's going to help. So we also, in terms of diet, it's very, very important to keep our beneficial flora high in the intestines. And so we're going to talk a little more about that. But probiotic-rich foods like cultured vegetables and fermented vegetables, fermented foods, so kimchi, sauerkraut. You can make cultured vegetables, which is very, very very, very good for the body. Once you have them, you can drink eat like a quarter cup to a half a cup, and would be an excellent addition.
And tempeh.
And tempeh.
Yeah, tempeh. I love tempeh.
Mm-hmm. Tempeh is fermented, so that's a soy product that's fermented. Kefir and yogurt is fermented dairy, but you can also get non-dairy kefir and yogurt that's made from coconut. You can also make it. So you can make cultured vegetables. You can make cultured coconut very easily. And it's pretty much, you know, with the vegetables, you're just going to chop them up small and add your culture. They don't even actually need a culture, but that can add more of the good probiotic varieties for your diet. Also, I don't know if I mentioned kombucha, but kombucha as well is a fermented product. You know, if you don't have these foods, then you can take a good probiotic formula. So the benefits of these probiotics or the beneficial flora is actually we have 80 to 85% of our immune system is in the intestines, is in the gut. And so the beneficial flora are absolutely integral to the immune system, to keeping out the bacteria, for killing. And I'm talking about the beneficial bacteria is going to kill the pathogenic bacteria from coming in or from replicating. You're going to have actually a help with parasites to keep parasites away. The pathogenic bacteria can be have endotoxins that are also going to be very toxic to the intestines, to the body, to the cell lining, and this can lead to leaky gut syndrome. Also, it's going to help with candida. I think our last show, or a couple shows ago, we talked about candida. So this is a yeast overgrowth.
And the importance of whole grains for keeping the colon healthy. That's very important, isn't it?
Yes, because of the fiber.
The fiber.
Because of the fiber is
cleaning
is
it out,
very,
huh?
Is very important. So the probiotics, they actually, the beneficial flora, create and absorb very important vitamins like many B vitamins, vitamin K2, minerals like molybdenum and manganese. And so there are many, many important effects of the probiotics, but, you know, protecting the lining, protecting from inflammation and irritation. So if we don't have this protection, then likely the person is going to have intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome. We've talked a lot about this on this show. So that's going to mean that the irritation of the lining is going to cause microscopic tears and from the irritation. Just as if you had irritated skin, if you look at it under a microscope, you're going to have these little tiny microscopic tears. Now, in some people who have had illness in their intestines, they might have ulcerative colitis or more severe irritable bowel syndrome, or where they're going to have larger, more like ulcerations. But we're just talking about irritation and what that can do. But it actually causes these little tiny tears. And so a larger molecule that didn't get digested in the upper part of the intestine, in the small intestine, is now in the large intestine waiting to be eliminated. And it ends up slipping through into the bloodstream from these little microscopic tears in the large intestinal lining. So they get into the bloodstream in an unbroken down form, which is completely foreign to have pieces of actual food proteins in the blood. And the body says, oh, what's this? We need to attack. We need to eliminate. So inevitably, whatever that food was that gets into the body is now either an allergen or a sensitivity. It's toxic to the body. So it could be an allergic reaction, or it might just be a toxin. So with inflammation in the intestines, in the body, this leads to leaky gut syndrome. It leads to the person having more and more food sensitivities. So ideally, one would identify and know their food sensitivities. We can do that in my office. Other holistic doctors can help with that. Some people are able to know what foods are toxic for them and what aren't. And it's important in the season of staying healthy to reduce as many of one's food sensitivities as possible. And because if we want to heal the gut lining, we need to, we need the good beneficial probiotics, but we're going to have to avoid what has become toxic in the body. And those can be genetically modified organisms, like the BT corn has a pesticide that's going to stay in the intestines and cause inflammation. Could be other environmental toxins, herbicides, pesticides.
Donna, and we have a listener on the air.
Oh, great. Aloha.
Hello. I have a question.
Yes.
You know, In 2004, I had a kidney transplant, and they told me that one of the medications I should take was an iron pill. And today, it's now over 10 years, they told me to stop because the ferritin in my body was going up to 15, 16, 1700. So I was wondering, what kind of food would be good for me to eat, because everything has iron. And I just don't know what to expect, because I have to go to infusion, and they give me some kind of a medicine that I sit there for 4 hours to kind of chelate the thing out of my body. So I just wanted to know, and I'll take it off the air.
Before you go off the air,
I have this iron problem.
Yep.
And how can I take care of it with food or with other things?
Before you go off the air, are you still here with us? Oh, well,
okay.
Anyways, what I wanted to ask him, maybe he can call back if he'd like to, but that's an important question that he has. And my question to him is whether if they've chelated the excess iron out, if the iron is still coming back. But usually what happens is, once the iron is chelated out, then as long as a person like a man or a woman who's not menstruating anymore, who's not losing blood, okay, we shouldn't need iron support if we're not losing blood, if we're not losing iron. And so in his situation, it should be fine once he gets the excess iron chelated out. So iron is an important mineral for the body. In large amounts, it's considered a heavy toxic metal. So he can feel free to call back. I'm not exactly sure if his body's, producing too much iron. There are some men have high red blood cells that's abnormal, where they keep increasing, they're having too many red blood cells and need to get maybe he's on the line right now, so
hello,
hi, thanks for calling back. So
hello.
Yes, can you hear me? Thank you for calling back.
I can hear you through the radio.
Okay, well, my question to you is, once they've chelated out the excess iron, are your iron levels still coming up? Have they not been able to chelate out the excess iron?
Yeah, because it went from 15 to 16 and then went up to 17, went back down to 15, and then now it's up at 18. So I don't know if it's the food I'm eating, or I don't know what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, iron-rich foods are going to be found in red meats. They're going to be found in greens, but probably it's something that your body is creating. They may need to do a 24-hour urine test and see if you still have high iron in your urine. So that's a very good test in order to see if you have high iron or other heavy metals. So that's something you might want to mention to them, because you're talking about the ferritin level, and it's not necessarily telling whether you have high iron levels or low iron levels. But there are also some, you probably need to work with your liver, and it's good to maybe take some things that are going to support your liver, so your liver can help to detoxify and help to work with excess iron or excess ferritin on its own. So there's a very good herb called milk thistle. But it sounds like it would be good to maybe work with a holistic doctor like myself or another naturopathic doctor and try to get to the root of what's going on before you try to, I'm hearing an echo, so it might be because your radio's on, but, in, you know, before you try to treat yourself. Another thing,
okay.
Another thing you can try would be Epsom salt baths, so I mentioned that. Actually, to have a detoxification effect, you want to use like 5 pounds per bathtub. So you really need a lot of Epsom salts, but that is very good for detox. You know, we talked about keeping the body warm, which is very helpful in the winter months, and also supplies the body with important sulfur. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
And we have another caller.
Aloha.
Hello, you're on the air.
Aloha.
Dr. Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Hello,
can you hear?
Dr. Donna. Hello, Dr. Donna.
Hello, can you
hello?
Hear?
Hello,
there
Dr.
Seems,
Donna.
Seems to be something that's not working here.
Hello,
is
Dr.
That,
Donna.
We can hear you. We can hear you. Okay. Well, maybe he'll call back and we can figure that out. So we were talking about the importance of the beneficial flora in the intestines and how we can eat cultured vegetables, cultured kinds of kefir and kombucha and fermented foods, which are very important. Do we have somebody on the line?
Yes, we do. Hold on. Okay.
Hello.
Great to hear you back on air, Dr. Donna.
Oh, good to hear you calling in. Can you hear us now?
Thank you so much. It's a challenge of technology.
So what's your question?
Following up on the gentleman's interest in iron, should it be a concern for vegan or vegetarian, mainly men, who eat no iron, no beef, in other words, et cetera, pork, et cetera. Is it really true that that vegan or vegetarian men or women might have a buildup of excess iron and copper in one system?
I don't believe so. If you're vegetarian?
Yeah.
I really don't believe that would happen. Unless there was something wrong, like the detoxification mechanisms were not working well.
Well, I just had a huge bowl of organic kale, carrots, red cabbage, red onions, non-GMO miso, and a tiny bit of wild Alaskan salmon.
Mm-hmm, that sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the former American diet, they analyzed my bod the other day, and I have less than 3% body fat.
Sounds like you're doing really well.
Yeah,
so.
But another question I really reason want to have you speak to is the question of, do you think it is beneficial, and in what forms, if it's beneficial, should one take elderberry?
Elderberry is very beneficial. I was going to talk about it later on in my talk, but we can talk about it now.
Great.
It's a very, very good immune herb. It also has antiviral properties. And it also, the elderberry flower, that is, the elderberry flower, it also is very good as a diaphoretic. So diaphoretic is an agent or an herb that's going to cause the skin to break out in a sweat. And so we talked about the Wei Qi, and, you know, if we're coming onto a sickness, this is going to help to open up the pores, open up the Wei Qi, to what we call in Chinese medicine, to release the Wei Qi, so that we're not going to sweat, so that we are going to sweat. And this, if a person's getting a cold, or if there's a pathogen invading in that outer layer, this will help to release it out. So it's very important,
flower?
Very, very good. Yes, it's a very good herb for the winter time. ibuprofen for the immune system?
The thing is, I tried the syrup, and then when I purchased the syrup, I noticed it had honey and alcohol, and I'm a diabetic, and just the tiniest little bit of that stuff just drives my
Yeah, system. So if you're a diabetic, you want to stay away from, you know, any kind of sugar.
Yeah.
Honey is fructose, and the elderberry syrup, because it's made from the berries, is also going to have sugar. So the berries actually have can have a purgative effect.
So the flower is the best form.
Excuse me?
The elderberry flower.
Elderberry flower is for this diaphoretic effect and for the immune system. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you for a previous recommendation. I've been checking out the 300-plus products that the Eclectic Institute offers.
Yes, they have excellent products, and they do have elderberry syrup, and they do have milk thistle. We talked about that being very beneficial for detoxification, for supporting the liver. And there's a product that they have that I really like for liver support, and that's called Optilipotropic. So it has herbs in it and other important vitamins and N-acetylcysteine, and it's very good for anyone who wants to do liver detox.
Well, thank you so much for your helping us out all the time.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for listening and calling in.
Thank you, Dr. Donna.
See you later.
Bye.
Okay.
You know, I was just remembering when I lived in San Francisco and the winters would get quite cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go to my Chinese physician, Carol,
mm-hmm.
and she would always do the thinning and the thickening of the blood depending on the season.
Uh-huh.
And acupuncture, but talked a lot about the importance of root vegetables and baking root vegetables in the winter. And
vegetables are very much supportive for the liver.
Yeah,
and because they're roots, they're from the earth, and they're warming. They have more sustenance than, let's say, you're going to get from a leaf. but the root vegetables are very good for the liver, as are the brassica family. So
Ooh.
Brassica family includes kale, collards, broccoli, cabbage.
Cauliflower,
yeah. Brussels sprouts. So those are very high in sulfur compounds. And the sulfur compounds are very important for detoxification. So we were talking about this, such an important the beneficial flora for the immune system. 85% of the immune system is in the gut, in the intestines. And not only are they going to help to improve the immune system, but they're going to help to remove toxins. They're going to aid in stimulating secretory IgA, very important for the immune system. When we're eating junk food and sugar, and like I was saying before the callers, foods that have GMOs and herbicides and pesticides, those are going to lead to endotoxins and inflammation in the intestinal lining, which will lead to leaky gut syndrome, which I already described. So one of the main importance for avoiding or for detoxification and having less inflammation in the body is to avoid these toxins. So coffee, we talked about, is important to avoid. And so I just wanted to include some things that I use as a substitute, like raw cacao powder as a hot chocolate. So just add a heaping teaspoon of raw cacao powder to boiled water, and you have a yummy chocolate drink. You know, you can add a little raw sugar, not raw sugar, but you could a little bit, or raw honey, or maple syrup if you need a little bit of sweet. Also, another great tea is ginger lemon tea, or if you can find roasted dandelion root, that's an excellent coffee substitute.
What about ginseng?
Ginseng tea can be very good for the winter months. For some people, it can be too warming. It also causes the qi to be in an upward flow in the body. So if a person, it's not the right thing for everybody. If a person has headaches or anxiety, it might not be the best herb, but it can be an excellent herb, which can also support the adrenal glands as well. So also important staying healthy is to have good thoughts and positive thoughts and less stress. And we're talking about the health of the liver. And by the way, a lot of people have more allergies that are coming on when their liver's taxed. So allergies and liver overload definitely have a relationship. So any of what we're talking about in detoxifying the liver and the body and having good probiotics and supporting the liver and decreasing toxic foods are going to be important. But we can also, the liver has the affinity for the emotion, anger, irritability, frustration. So if we're having a liver imbalance, this is going to cause more irritability. If we're having a lot of irritability and frustration, it's going to cause more of a liver imbalance. So it's like a cycle. And there's a really nice, I call it a liver cleansing, letting go, qigong exercise with a tree. And so you have a friendly tree that you connect with, and you give thanks to it, and you simply breathe and ask the tree to take anything excess that you haven't been able to let go of on a minute by minute basis or on a daily basis. Because when we're having anger or irritability, if we're not adequately able to let go for whatever reason, then it gets stored in the liver, and it, like I said, can cause imbalance. So if you a couple times a week, if you make it have a little time to yourself and use the aid of the tree. The tree is wood element. The liver is wood element. So it's going to take those negative frustrated thoughts that have built up in the liver, and you just let it go, and the tree will just compost it into the roots and make compost in the soil. So it's just a nice exercise where you're just intentionally saying, okay, I'm going to breathe and just do this to allow some time of what's accumulated and let go. So if we can have positive thoughts, and calming the negative thoughts is going to really impact the immune system in an important way, as well as anything we can do to decrease stress.
We have about 10 more minutes left, and just wanted to let you know that at 1 o'clock, my good friend Richard, One World Radio, one of the great shows here at Kauai Community Radio.
So, sunlight is so very important, which we get less of in the winter, for the skin to produce vitamin D3 sulfate. So natural vitamin D3, very important water-soluble form that's going to permeate all the cells in the body, as well as cholesterol sulfate. We want to supplement with vitamin D3 if we're not able to get enough sun. I also find in my practice a lot of people aren't able to, even if there is sun, they're not able to make it on their own because there's actually a lot of malnutrition out there in people because of decreased absorption. So this is really an issue for a lot of people that I'm finding clinically. And so if we don't have the right nutrition, the right cofactors, vitamins and minerals that have been absorb, or if they're not absorbed, then the body doesn't have the ability to do a lot of metabolic processes, in such as making protein, making vitamin D3 from the sun, making cholesterol sulfate from the sun, making sulfate from sulfur. And I also wanted to mention a soup that I think is a really great soup, which has very high in minerals, and that would be a bone soup, which I know you wouldn't enjoy, Cousin Rich, because you're vegetarian. But for those who aren't vegetarian, you know, making a bone soup,
About this before, yeah. Extracting the minerals from the bones.
The minerals, and then you have all the good nutrients in the cartilage, including glucosamine and chondroitin.
That's like chicken soup is the best.
Exactly. So the bones are actually cooked in China, in Chinese medicine, they're cooked for 72 hours, but at least 24 to 72 hours. It's very easy to make, and you can also add vegetables. You can add good immune herbs like astragalus and shiitake mushrooms. You can add garlic, which has, you know, high in sulfur and is antibacterial. You can add rosemary, which is antibacterial. And so I just wanted to mention that. Sleep and rest is very, very important for the immune system. And we talked about the beneficial fats. I want to talk about other antibacterial herbs. So the common ones that we have, that many people have, would be lavender and thyme and oregano and rosemary, garlic and onions. So we can use those amply in cooking or in soups. And we can also, for antibacterial, there's golden seal and Oregon grape root. So these are very high in berberine, which is antibacterial. Grapefruit seed extract is a product that one can get in the health food store, which is very antibacterial. And artemisia, which is wormwood. We even have that growing on the island, some species of wormwood. I also wanted to mention that thyme and oregano and rosemary are also really good expectorants. So they can be used if somebody has a cough and a cold. Antiviral herbs, I have a few that I wanted to talk about. Lomatium is a very strong one. A lot of people don't know what that is. The last gentleman who called talked about Eclectic Institute, which is a very good herbal company. And they have, I'm mentioning them because they have lomatium isolate. Now, this is actually only sold to doctors, so you'd have to get it from like a naturopathic doctor like myself. And this is a you only need drops because it's been, the way it's been extracted is very concentrated and powerful. But you can also get, you can just get lomatium tincture on your own. Astragalus, I mentioned that in the soup. Licorice, real licorice, is antiviral, very good for the immune system, anti-inflammatory. Echinacea, a lot of people have heard of. Isatis, that's very much antiviral, used a lot in Chinese medicine. Immune-boosting mushrooms like shiitake mushrooms and reishi mushrooms. So these are also, as well as antiviral, very good for the immune system. They have anti-cancer effects. Vitamin C is important to increase during the season. However, vitamin C is made, unless otherwise noted, it's made from GMO corn. There's the GMO toxic issue. There's also the corn. Some people are sensitive to corn or have an allergy to corn. And so those people would have to find another kind of vitamin C, such as what is found in bioflavonoids. Bioflavonoids are the pigments and in the skin of vegetables and fruits. And so, you know, acerola is actually a good substitute for vitamin C. There's rutin, there's hesperin, even rose hips can be a good substitute for vitamin C. But increasing vitamin C is good, especially if you feel like you have a cold coming on. Generally, for pregnant women, you don't want to exceed 500 milligrams four times a day. You don't want to exceed that dosage. Zinc is important. Exercise is very important. Keep the body strong and well. If you're coming down with something, you know, you could do some, not a long exercise, but a short exercise to get the body sweating would be valuable to release that outer layer, that wei qi. Wet socks treatment I want to mention. This is a naturopathic treatment that's very useful for kids and adults. Basically, what you need are a pair of woolen socks, real wool, and you need cotton socks that you wet at night. You put on your, you wring them out, you put them on your feet, and then you put the dry woolen socks over, and you just go to bed that way, and it creates a pumping action and it stimulates the immune system. So it's good for any kind of congestion in the upper part of the body, and it stimulates the immune system. Really great, especially for kids.
Because I guess the wool pulls the water.
Yeah.
And out of the cotton.
And it dries it. Mm-hmm.
Donna, our time is up.
Okay.
And so.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
I got through a lot of what I wanted to talk about. I just want to mention that there are Chinese herbal formulas that are really excellent if you feel a cold coming on, especially on the onset,
yeah.
Like yin chao, initial defense, gamma ling,
mm-hmm.
And then there's cinnamon combination if you got cold and you start getting like a stuffiness coming on, or pararia combination, which is the same, but you have a stiff neck. So those are really excellent. And the homeopathics, there are three that can... Do I have time just to mention
sure.
it really quick? There are three homeopathic remedies that are indicated on onset of a cold. Either aconitum, which is quick onset and often coldness and maybe some fright emotionally. Ferrum fos is your typical sore throat. Or gelsemium is the dreepy, dreary, drowsy, like you're really kind of lethargic and heavy feeling. So it's usually one of those three. There's also oxylococcinium, which is great for warding off the flu.
Well, thanks, Donna. A lot of great
information.
Thank you.
And one really quick thing, diaphoretic teas. We talked about elderflower, ginger, chamomile, and yarrow. So that's going to help the body sweat
right on.
To release. If you get
the
cold really early.
Say that again. You could say it slower.
Oh, okay. elderflower, ginger, chamomile, and yarrow. So if you feel something coming on, you can make a tea that'll help you to sweat. You want to bundle up, you want to rest, and you want to eat lightly. Even little kids, you know, if you're getting sick, you don't want
to
eat much, and that's going
to give your body a rest.
Yeah, it's going to help the energy going into fighting the cold.
Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
We'll see you in two
okay.
weeks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ahui ho.
Uh-huh.
Aloha.
When morning comes to Morven Town, the merchants roll their awnings down. The milk trucks make their morning rounds in morning Morven Town. We'll rise up early with the sun to ride the bus while everyone is yawning and the day is young. In morning Morgantown, morning Morgantown, buy your dreams a dollar down. Morning any town you name, morning's just the same. Archie.